gardening on the Pat Kenny Show.
Thanks to Tyrlone Country Life. Gardens are our second nature, with 15 garden centres nationwide.
Now, garden designer extraordinaire Dermot Gavin joins me to tell me about a garden that I've never been to, but I must go based on what you've shown me.
Absolutely. It's an extraordinary garden that has just in the last couple of years really become an asset of the Irish nation and of Waterford City and County in particular. It's called Mount Congreve. Since the 1700s, there was a grand house on the site, on a remarkable site, on a hill overlooking the River Shore. And in the kind of from the 1950s on, well, there had always been gardens around it, of course, but from the 1950s on, one man in particular who inherited in the family way, Ambrose Congreve, who really loved gardens and understood what he had. And most importantly, he had the financial ability to create something. And
you've shown us other gardens before, yep, whether it's Versailles or whatever it, yep, might be. Very ancient gardens. This is not an ancient garden.
I'm sure there was an ancient garden. I'm sure there were parterres. I'm sure the style of the day did exist. But no, this isn't. It's a relatively contemporary garden. So from the last century, and influenced by the gardens of a family friend. So the Rothschild family. One of the Rothschild has an amazing garden that I was transfixed by when I was a kid watching some programme on television, just the cameras floating through a rhododendron and azalea garden, and it was mesmerising. Well, Ambrose
Congreve... This is Exbury.
Exbury, yes.
Exbury.
Yeah.
Now, Ambrose Congreve is the man who created this garden in County Waterford.
Yeah, yeah. So from the Congreve family, this was the ancestral family home. One of the kind of an Anglo-Irish family, industrialists, but the secret to, I suppose, his wealth and his success, yes, indeed, he inherited the place, and I'm sure plenty of funds, but he married somebody from a petrochemical company, a Scottish petrochemical company who had plants all around the world. He became managing director of that. Worked very hard, had an amazing instinct for business, was always able to anticipate the market, and the money went into...
So his missus was the daughter of this Humphreys fella,
yes,
who had Humphreys in Glasgow, a big, yes, international petrochemical company.
Absolutely.
In the golden age of petroleum.
Absolutely. In the golden age of petroleum, which also means in the golden age of pollution, one must remember, in various places around the world. So beauty in one place and in other places, maybe all sorts of poisoning fumes.
Now, you might say it was nepotism or whatever, but he became managing director of the company within 4 years of joining it.
But quite properly, because he started off at a lowly job, but he became, because he was a brilliant business person, and he really kind of monetized that company, certainly put it on the map, and reaped the rewards, endless amounts, unbelievable amounts of cash. So he lived between London, where he had a house in the courtyard of St. James, next to where Prince Charles lived, and this country estate. He'd fly into Cork Airport, the Rolls would pick him up, and he ran a house with a staff of 70 people, some dressed in uniform. The last, I think it's called liveried, isn't it? When they're made wear this uniform, and guests such as Fred Astaire and Dukes, Duchesses, no doubt kings and queens, entertained lavishly.
Now, the garden, you can think of gardens in many different ways, whether they're ornate with loads of little roses and, you know, quite closely designed. This is on a grand scale.
It's on a grand scale. One of the things he learnt from Rothschild, and going to see those gardens there, was never plant in ones, two or threes. Plant in 20s, 50s, in hundreds. And that's exactly what he did. So it is lavish. 3,000 varieties of rhododendrons, 600 varieties, not 600 camellia plant, varieties, 300 varieties of Acer, and over 250 miles of cherry trees, with 25 kilometres of walks. And
so you're walking through this unfolding landscape, with glorious planting all around you.
It's quite unbelievable. And it's on a slope down to the river. What he recognised was that his forefathers had planted acres of trees which would create a microclimate. He already had the perfect soil for this, slightly acidic. So he was able to, he decided he was going to outdo the garden. That was his inspiration.
And he was very conscious of the seasonality of things. So there was never a dull moment.
In
planting terms.
So there was always something to see. Obviously, this time of year, the magnolias are just over, but now we're going into to the rhododendrons.
The camellias are just over.
The camellias.
Well.
Yeah. Now the oriental maples are coming
beginning
out, so
to come
extraordinary.
Out, yeah.
But in the wall garden, which is 4 acres, he had borders which shone in May, June, July and August. So there's always something to see.
Now, this is a man who lived a long life, but he couldn't live forever. A couple of things about him. Very sharp, as you said, in business terms. Got rid of his share portfolio when?
2008, just before the financial crash. So cashed in and had all those funds. Yes, so at the age of 104, he was in London for a visit to the Chelsea Flower Show, where he had in the past won, I think it was 13 gold medals, and he passed away. He passed away then. But on his 100th birthday, it was this big lunch held in his honour, and he quoted a Chinese proverb: "To be happy for an hour, have a glass of wine. To be happy for a day, read a book. To be happy for a week, take a wife. To be happy forever, make a garden."
My goodness!
And now, we can all visit.
Now, tell me about the history of the garden then. I mean, did it fall into disrepair as he got older? Who minded the garden and how did it come into the possession of Waterford County Council?
So there's been an extraordinary staff, dedicated staff, some brilliant plants people down there looking after it. Yes, but there was this period. I think he wanted to leave it to the state and he had conversations at dinners with the Taoiseach of the time and he explained his plans. I think there was a reluctance maybe for the state to take it unless they were getting a big chunk because it's a costly gift to accept.
It's like buying a chateau in northern France.
Exactly.
It's a bargain, but you're going to spend.
You're going to spend. So he left it in the end to maybe the department to get around some of the complications, maybe to the department of the Taoiseach on behalf of the state. It was accepted, but there was all sorts of terms and conditions. They were all sorted in 2019 and then Bord Fáilte and various grants from the government came to the rescue and an amazing visitor centre was created, amazing restaurant and a new school of horticulture, which is really important because it helps train new generations who will both look after the garden there and our gardens.
And Forest Hotel offering eco-luxury accommodation among the trees.
Among the trees. So they're very innovative. There's a brilliant woman, Sarah, down there, who's come from hotel in at the Waterford Coastal Hotel. Oh, what's that? The Cliff Group. So she has brought these innovative ideas, which will in time. So it's finding its feet. It's early days yet. But I would urge anybody, of course, the Greenway, you can cycle by it. I would urge anybody to visit this and discover
the pictures
one of,
you sent me. It's not in bad nick at all.
No. And a great team down there. But it will find its place. Waterford is an extraordinary place, which is just coming to. We're realising what we have for many of us, for much of the population so near to cities of Dublin.
So
and Cork.
It's called Mount Congreve. And if you can, go see it.
Absolutely.
Dermot Gavin, thank you very much for joining us. And that's all we've time for. A reminder that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the News Talk app, powered by Go Loud.
Gardening on the Pat Kenny Show.
Thanks to Tier Lawn Country Life. Gardens are our second nature, with 15 garden centres nationwide.